I must say, before I pray, that it's quite emotional for me to be back in this church preaching rather than on the other side of a computer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the discoveries that I think many of us made during COVID lockdowns is how we process time. Even though the days are all 24 hours, and even though a minute is 60 seconds, if you're like me, during lockdown, I noticed time in a way I never had before. I noticed how long some days could be. I noticed how short a week could be. Is it already Friday? Or how long a week could be. When will it be Friday? I found that in order to maintain my equilibrium, I needed to mark time. Without an external schedule, I needed to find ways to notice that time was moving ahead. Otherwise, I felt like I was in an eternal now, and not the kind of blissful eternal now that spiritual thinkers talk about. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Happy New Year. Many of us who grew up Anglican, or who, like me, discovered Anglicanism, love the way the church marks time. The seasons of the Christian year, Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Easter, they're ways that make us have, that time makes sense for us, help us have time make sense for us. They give us a focus for the hours and days and weeks of our lives. Advent is a strange season. It asks us to look forward to what Jeremiah calls those days, and what Jesus and Paul call that day. Advent asks us to listen to the voices of our ancestors in the faith who believed that there was a cataclysmic event on the horizon that would come at a particular time. Advent asks us to hear the prophecies at the heart of our tradition, prophecies which shaped Christianity's understanding of time. These prophecies conceive of time not as circular, like the repetitive seasons, and they don't think of time like an endless river. These prophecies see time as shaped by events that have God behind them. They see time as moving towards a goal, God's goal. This morning we hear prophecies from Jeremiah and Jesus and Paul. These people were convinced that God's goal was on the temporal horizon. In those days, Jeremiah prophesies, a just and righteous descendant of David will appear, who will save Judah and allow Jerusalem to live in safety. Jesus prophesies that the kingdom of God is near, and that the Son of Man will come in a cloud with power and great glory. This stupendous event will disrupt the increased political conflict that he sees in store for Jerusalem. Paul prophesies that Jesus will come again in a dramatic way, the coming of the Lord. This understanding of time is foreign to our day-to-day time. Of course, in our ordinary time, we look ahead to events. But I expect that most of us do so while thinking of time as an ongoing line that will just keep on going until our bodies die. Or we think of our lives as circular. We came from dust and we return to dust. Every person in every generation just repeats the cycle. And we may think of God as living an eternal now that doesn't touch the time of our life. During Advent, we are asked to listen to another way of thinking about the time of our lives. We're not living on a line of ongoing time, nor caught in a repetitive cycle. We are living in the sacred time of God. Our ordinary time is punctuated and surrounded by God's extraordinary time. In Advent, we're invited to see God acting in our human time in order to change things for the better. That day will bring justice and goodness. That day will bring redemption in the midst of the chaos of political conflict. That day will bring the Lord Jesus and his powerful love close to all humanity. That day will emerge out of this day, this dark day of climate crisis, of opioid crisis, of the migrant crisis, of the crises of deaths of despair, of gun violence, and on and on. Does it matter that, from our perspective, these prophecies are wrong? Does it matter that Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place"? Does it matter that, from what we can tell, Paul thought that Jesus would return in Paul's lifetime? If Jesus and Paul were mistaken about timing, were they also mistaken about God's intention to bring justice and deliverance, God's capacity to do so? Has God just left us in a time of continuous ongoing violence and greed and injustice? Are we fools to engage in Advent? I guess it depends on how we think about that day. Is it a day in human history only, or also a day in God's time? If it is also a day in God's time, then it's always that day. God's time is endless and eventful and goal-oriented. It moves ahead to God's goal, the goal of health for all. And God's time is also all at once, because God sees all time simultaneously. God's goal is in our future, but in God's present. So because our time is enveloped by God's time, that day is today. Can we understand these prophecies as about our human future at the same time as being about our present? Can we understand these prophecies as a window both to the future and a reframing of our present? Can we conceive of our lives being in God's time, the time of our lives grounded in God's wondrous time? Jesus' words describing the destruction of Jerusalem then are always words. They describe destructions in each generation, political and ecological crises. If we take these prophecies on board, they are about what will happen, and they frame our vision of what is happening. Jesus' prophecy about a decisive, cataclysmic, God-driven event which interrupts the horror is about an event in our future, one we long for, but because the event is God-driven, we can watch for how God is now interrupting the horrors that we humans perpetuate. At great cost, even shaking up what Jesus describes as the power structures of heaven, God intervenes in each generation, all for the purpose of bringing deliverance, salvation, redemption, justice, freedom from violence, making things healthy. God asks Jesus to return as the Son of Man to bring the kingdom of justice and love. The human Jesus sees this as a one-time event. But as his words reframe our vision of what is, we see that his coming is constant and continuous. Jesus, the Son of Man, is with us now in the time of our lives, as we watch and pray and stay alert, looking for where God is bringing deliverance. Advent looks to that great day when God will make all things well. Advent also looks at what is here now because of the wonder of God's birth among us as a fragile baby. In baby Jesus, we see God's time touching our time. Jesus, who grew into a man of wisdom and incomparable self-sacrificing love, is God's presence in our human time. The most astonishing interruption of all in the endless cycle of violence and injustice, a baby of God, whose torture and execution would reveal the absurdity of the way we spend our time, and whose resurrection showed what real life is made of, love, who showed that death cannot stop time, that love interrupts the violence and creates life and time without end, a kind of time that is not a flat, continuous line, but textured with acts of justice and peacemaking. Advent asks us to look ahead to that great day when God will make all things well. And Advent also asks us to look around to see where God is directing our gaze, so that we can be God's helpers in God's recreation project. Michael J. Fox has a new book out, which I haven't had the chance to read yet. It has the eye-catching title, No Time Like the Future. As I understand it, his book is about the power of hope for the future in the face of difficulties. As we all know, in Michael's case, the difficulties of Parkinson's, and as he says in this book, also of aging. Seeing these difficulties in light of the future is powerful. It has a powerful hold on it. We worry about the future. We stress about the future. We get excited about the future. The future is always shaping our present. We live in light of the future. Without the future, our present would be dim. The kind of time that Advent invites us into is time with a future that shapes our present. We can live into the certainty that our God of justice and love is in control of the future. That God, who created this planet, wants us to save it. Every single amoeba is loved by God. Every single plant, every single mountain and river, every single creature, including us, even the most despicable among us, God wants to see us live in loving relationship. And that's the certainty about God's future. But this certainty does not create complacency. Advent's focus on the future does not ask us to sit back and wait for God to act, to wait for the Son of Man to come in a cloud with power and great glory, to simply wait for God to save the world and everything in it from the mess that we have made of it. Advent asks us to live with urgent certainty, the kind of certainty we see around the climate crisis. In light of the future, we must act now. For those of us who hear the call of Advent, our certainty is that the future is God's justice and peace and wellness, and so we need to act now. We need to act now to be God's partners in being people of justice and peace and creation healing. Anything we can do to promote peace and justice and health and love is part of the future that is certain. These acts come from the future and lead to the future. And as Paul says about love, they never end. We who participate in Advent know that acts of hatred and divisiveness and destruction go nowhere. They are not part of God's future, and they have a termination date. We don't need to be cowed by them or discouraged by them, for only love lasts forever. Advent summons us to see each moment in light of that day, to know and declare and live the energy from that day when justice will fill the world, when all will be well, to see that day now. The energy from that great day is God's energy, and it is here now for us. Advent invites us to see ourselves as people of that day, acting as if it is today, for in God's time in which we live, it is.